by local community, such as parade of older local heroes, cards, pillow fights, pay-heading boat races, and many more.
The 2025 Asian Senior Fencing Championship scheduled for June 17th until 23rd in Nusa Dua, Bali, will see participation from 46 countries, up from 35 previously. This increase is attributed to the event's role in accumulating points for the 2028 Los Angeles Olympics and the appeal of Bali as a host location. Teams from Kazakhstan and Australia plan to arrive early for joint training sessions with Indonesia's national team. The event will be overseen by international officials, including FIE President Alisher Usmanov, ensuring adherence to global standards. And that was the news.
Made from duck meat as its main ingredient and wadung yang leaf that adds a unique sour taste.
years throughout Indonesia. The song Manusia Super describes the feelings of a father who often hides his tiredness for the sake of his beloved family. The song expresses the emotional side of a father who is willing to sacrifice for the happiness of those closest to him. The song is expected to touch the hearts of the listeners and show appreciation for the important role of a father. Through this song, Anji and Firsa want to remind that fathers also need support and appreciation. Well, listener, let's enjoy the collaboration of Anji and Firsa Desari with the song Manusia Super. Let's check this one out.
Ministers of Foreign Affairs delivered an oral statement at the ICG hearing on Wednesday, April 30, 2025. This speech, an oral statement by the Indonesian government and the legal fatwa hearing regarding the obligations of Israeli in relations to the presence and activities of the United Nations, other international organizations and third states in and in relations to the occupied Palestinian territory. And here is the full report. Indonesia is and will always stand with the people of Palestine to defend their independence. Our commitment to the profound bond with the Palestinian people is rooted in humanity, that is their inalienable right to live in peace in their very own homeland. Indonesia attaches its utmost importance to the rule of international law and has a strong confidence that the decision of this distinguished court will guide the General Assembly and its member states in delivering justice to the persecuted and oppressed Palestinian people. Let me stress that while many countries, including Indonesia, clearly express that no country should be above the law, Israel has consistently imposed its nefarious policies and measures in the occupied Palestine territory in utter disrespect to international law. Israel's continued unlawful presence in the occupied Palestinian territory and its coercive environment created had made it impossible for the Palestinian people to exercise its basic rights as a nation, the right to self-determination. Against this backdrop, Indonesia assumes its moral duty to furnish information on the issues brought by the General Assembly to this court. I will firstly address the issue of jurisdiction, followed by the merit of the case on Israel's obligations as a UN member and as the occupying power. Honorable judges, on the jurisdiction, Indonesia asserts that this court has jurisdiction to provide its opinion requested by the General Assembly under Article 96, Paragraph 1 of the UN Charter and Article 65 of the court's statute, and that there are no grounds for declining to do so. The question raised to this court is a legal question and within the scope of activities of the General Assembly. And this is consistent with the opinion of the court, such as in the Cyprus Advisory Opinion, which stated that the request for an advisory opinion from the Assembly seeking to examine the situation by referencing to international law is a legal question. The present request fits into that requirement, as the chapeau to the present question makes it unequivocal for scrutinizing Israel's obligation by reference to international law. There should be no doubt that this court has jurisdiction to deliberate over the present request for advisory opinion. Mr. President, on the merit of the case, the Indonesia submits that Israel, as a member of the UN, bears a general obligation to adhere to its commitments to accept and perform obligations stipulated by the UN Charter in good faith. Israel had accepted such obligations through its declaration accepting obligations under the Charter made on 29 November 1948. And Israel's acceptance was a crucial undertaking pursuant to Article 4, Paragraph 1 of the Charter to be admitted to the UN membership. In its declaration, Israel states that, and I quote, "The State of Israel unreservedly accepts the obligations of the United Nations Charter and undertakes to honor them from the day when it becomes a member of the United Nations," end quote. The term used in the declaration is unreserved, and I do not need to enlighten this court on the significance of this term. Referring to this court's opinion on the reparation for injuries, Israel's acceptance of the obligation of the Charter must be strictly observed. In this regard, Israel's ongoing violation of and its failure to fulfill its obligation under international laws has raised the question of its suitability to be called a peace-loving state, which is a prerequisite of the UN membership as prescribed in Article 4, Paragraph 1 of the Charter. I shall explain further that Israel's general obligations under the Charter encompasses obligations to respect the presence of the UN, to facilitate and give every assistance to the UN, as well as to carry out the decisions of the UN Security Council, the judgments and the decisions of this court. By virtue of Security Council's resolutions, Israel also owes those obligations toward other international organizations and third states. Honorable judges, I shall emphasize that Israel is under the obligation to respect the presence of the UN, including UNRWA and the UN body responsible for discharging UN's humanitarian assistance. This obligation is provided for in Article 105 of the UN Charter and have been further elaborated in the two UN Conventions on the Privileges and Immunities of the UN, both of which Israel is a state party. These conventions emphasize that the scope of Israel's obligations is relevant to the present request in relation to the premises, property, assets, and funds of the United Nations, to the archives and documents of the UN, and to the experts and officials on missions of the UN. As this court noted in its advisory opinion regarding reparation of injuries, these privileges and immunities are essential for ensuring the fulfillment of the UN's functions independently and effectively. This is particularly relevant in the present context where the UN has to properly discharge its humanitarian functions in the occupied Palestine territory. Having said the above, I wish to submit that Israel's conduct, including its enactment of laws targeting the UNRWA's operation, contradicts Israel's obligations to respect the presence of the UN. Honorable judges, on the obligation of Israel to facilitate and provide every assistance to the UN, as well as other international organizations and third states, I wish to point out several obligations that were imposed to Israel by this court in its various order of provisional measures in the case of South Africa versus Israel. Those, among others, are obligation to take all necessary and effective measures to ensure the unhindered provision of the urgently needed basic services and humanitarian assistance, to immediately halt military offensive and any other action which may inflict on Palestinian people, and to maintain the opening of the Rafah crossing for unhindered provision of the urgently needed basic services and humanitarian assistance. As a matter of law, those obligations imposed by the court have a binding effect upon Israel by virtue of Article 94, Paragraph 1 of the UN Charter. This binding effect has also been affirmed by this court in its 2001 judgment of the Lagrange case. I wish to stress that as a failure to perform the above-mentioned obligations would result in the suffering of innocent civilians, particularly the vulnerable groups, such as the elderly, women and children, and Israel's non-fulfillment of those obligations constitutes a violation of human rights obligations. Article 4 of the International Covenant on Civil and Political Rights, or ICCPR, establishes that human rights protection does not stop during armed conflict. And as this court determined in its 2004 Wall Advisory Opinion, both international humanitarian law and international human rights law are applicable in times of armed conflict. Having pointed out all the above, Indonesia emphasizes that the issue deliberated is not a matter of political exigency, nor is merely a moral inquiry, but one that is grounded in international law, upon which Israel is legally bound to discharge its obligations in good faith and without reservation. Honorable judges, I would like now to move to Indonesia's submission regarding Israel's obligation as an occupying power. Israel's status as an occupying power in Palestinian territory, including Gaza, is a matter beyond dispute. It has been affirmed by this court and by countless resolutions of the UN Security Council and the UN General Assembly. This determination has also been made by the court's previous advisory opinion on 9 July 2004 and 19 July 2024. As an occupying power, Israel's legal obligations extend beyond the general duties owed by all states under international law. The Fourth Geneva Convention governs the protection of civilians during times of armed conflict and occupation, and it places specific duties on Israel with respect to the humanitarian needs of the Palestinian population in the OPT. The language of this convention is clear, that Israel is bound to uphold at all times and under all circumstances those obligations. It is important to highlight that those obligations are rooted in customary international law and have been consistently reinforced by international legal precedent. With regard to the Fourth Geneva Convention, Indonesia respectfully submits that Israel is duty-bound at least to first ensure the provision of basic supplies, second, to accept and facilitate relief schemes, third, maintain medical services and protect humanitarian personnel, fourth, not conduct any forms of collective punishment, and fifth, not forcibly transfer and deport civilian population. I will address those obligations in turn. First, Indonesia submits that Israel is bound to comply with its obligations to ensure basic supplies as provided for under Article 50 and 55 of the Fourth Geneva Convention. In particular, Israel must ensure that the civilian population in the OPT is provided with essential supplies, including food, medical care, and other necessary services. And this obligation goes further to underscore the positive duty to maintain special protections for vulnerable groups, including children under 15, expectant mothers, and mothers of young children. Israel cannot ignore these responsibilities, as they are unequivocal and opposable to Israel as the occupying power. Failure to meet this obligation will have grave consequences for the civilian population and constitute a breach of Israel's duties under international law. Second, Israel is obliged to agree on relief schemes, especially to fulfill basic necessities as provided under Articles 38, 59, and 62 of the Fourth Geneva Convention. This obligation extends to Israel as the occupying power to cooperate with international humanitarian agencies to establish relief schemes for the provision of food, medical care, and other essential services. This obligation becomes even more crucial as the civilian population is inadequately supplied. The spirit of these provisions is clear. Humanitarian aid must be facilitated by the occupying power, not obstructed. It becomes evidently clear that Israel does not fulfill its obligation. Moreover, it played a pivotal part in the unfolding of the biggest humanitarian catastrophe of this decade, if not this century. The entire Palestinian territory has been living with persistently low living standards, being denied access to water, food, and energy. Third, the Geneva Conventions also impose strict obligations on Israel to protect medical facilities, healthcare personnel, and the provision of healthcare services under Articles 14, 17, 18, 20, 21, 30, 47, 53, 56, and 63 of the Fourth Geneva Convention. These include ensuring that hospitals are not attacked and that medical personnel can carry out their work without interference. These duties are not optional. At this juncture, Israel has clearly failed to respect those obligations. Indonesia wishes to highlight the fact that one of these failures was evident in the event of Israel's attack towards the Indonesian hospital in Gaza in 2023. This attack was perpetrated against one of the most critical health infrastructures in Gaza, despite the fact that there were patients being treated. Fourth, Israel is also duty-bound to not perpetrate collective punishment under Article 33 of the Fourth Geneva Convention. Collective punishment is prohibited, and any policy or practice that imposes collective punishment is a violation of these rules. Israel must therefore ensure that any measure taken in the OPT does not punish the civilian population collectively. The legal principle is clear. Individuals should not suffer for the actions of others. However, the reality speaks a horrible truth. The imposition of a total siege by Israel, cutting off electricity, water, food, and medicine, punishes the entire civilian population of Gaza for the actions of a few. Statements by high-ranking Israeli officials that assign collective guilt to an entire nation reinforce the conclusion that such measures are intended to punish civilians indiscriminately. This is not only illegal, but morally indefensible. Fifth, Article 49 of the Fourth Geneva Convention prohibits the transfer or deportation of civilians from the OPT. This provision is designed to protect the integrity of the Palestinian population and to ensure that they are not forcibly displaced from their homes. Any measures relating to evacuations may only occur for imperative military reasons, and even then, must be temporary, non-destructive of the civilian population's rights. Israel must respect this obligation and refrain. Refrain from engaging in any action that would lead to the unlawful transfer of civilians from the occupied territory. Yet, what we have witnessed in Gaza is a de facto policy of permanent dispossession. Israel is deliberately conducting a policy of forced mass displacement, accompanied by destruction of civilian infrastructure. More than 66% of buildings in Gaza were destroyed, and the requirement to return displaced persons to their homes has been rendered meaningless. Honorable judges, Indonesia would also like to add that Israel's obligations as an occupying power are also grounded in international human rights law, particularly the International Covenant on Civil and Political Rights, and International Covenant on Economic, Social and Cultural Rights, of which Israel is a state party. According to this international covenant, Israel is obliged, among others, to allow and facilitate relief schemes of the UN. There are specific obligations to implement this relief scheme, such as the obligation to recognize the right of everyone to an adequate standard of living, which is stipulated under Article 11, Paragraph 1 of ICESCR. The obligation to recognize the right of everyone to the enjoyment of the highest attainable standard of physical and mental health, which is under Article 12, Paragraph 1 of the ICESCR. Furthermore, there are also obligations to respect and ensure the right to liberty and security of persons under Article 9, Paragraph 1 of the ICCPR, and the obligation to respect and ensure that persons deprived of their liberty shall be treated with humanity under Article 10, Paragraph 1 of the ICCPR. Honorable judges, finally, I shall also furnish information on the crux of the Palestinian issue, the right to self-determination. The Palestinian right to self-determination is a raison d'etre on why the court should grant the request of the UN General Assembly. The questions posed are central to the fulfillment of the Palestinian right to self-determination, a fundamental principle of modern international law as provided in the UN Charter, as well as the London Conference of 1955. This Honorable Court has repeatedly and equivocally stated in the 2004 Wall Opinion, as well as the 2024 Legal Consequences Opinion, that Palestinians have the right to self-determination. This opinion has also been exemplified by a multitude of resolutions of the United Nations. The current reality contradicts all that was envisioned by such rights. On the ground, the world has vividly witnessed the systematic destruction of civilian infrastructures and hospitals in Gaza, making life unattainable. These actions actively impede the dispersal of Palestinian people and hinder their rights to determine their very own political, social, economic, and cultural status. In light of these facts, time and again, Indonesia unwaveringly submits to the courts that Israel shall be under the obligation to fulfill the Palestinian people the right to self-determination. Indonesia respectfully appeals to the honorable judges that international law must prevail and justice is rightfully delivered. This court opinion will provide much needed guidance to the international community on how to enforce the primacy of international law to solve the worst man-made humanitarian catastrophe of the century, the Palestinian people continue to endure. Thank you.
Step into the pristine beauty of Indonesia, where every pathway leads to unspoiled beaches and natural wonders. Let's join hands to maintain clean and inviting surroundings that welcome us at every turn. Together, we ensure that the breathtaking landscapes Indonesia is famed for remain enchanting for generations to come.
Kita tunggu.
Kenya anymore. But you don't have to worry if you are already in Seoul and want to taste this traditional culinary. Also, it is a popular culinary delicacy in Seoul. In certain places, there are still traders selling this ice cream product, such as in the Gili Market, Lorien Market, and in Manahan Field. Sugar. You can add shaved ice or ice cubes that are broken into small pieces. As a variation, you can also add pieces of chef fruit or prunes sticky rice puppies. For 1 bowl of ice cream for planet, you only need to pay 5,000 rupees.